Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey gang, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are going to move. We are going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike's on. He's ready to go.
On the Fan.
New York Sports Radio.
Mike's on. Mike's on.
All right, 5:06. Before I bring in Troy, let me tell you that the hearing now has been established for the Court of Appeals will be December 1st. So with that being the case, and we don't know what the ruling will be, but Elliott will miss the Atlanta game, the Philly game, and then the Thanksgiving game against the Chargers before the hearing takes place, which will be now, we've learned, December 1st. We welcome in Troy Aikman, who I miss, who's used to be with me all the time once a week, but it's good to have him with us. Troy, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Mike. It's good to be back on.
My pleasure and a good time because the Cowboys are obviously in the news as they are playing really well. And I thought the last couple of weeks playing as well as they have in recent years because I think there's a lot of improvement in the defensive line. And now they got to go without Elliott for a couple of weeks. Your thoughts on how that'll impact them?
Well, I mean, hey, you don't just replace Ezekiel Elliott, as we know, but I believe they're still going to be highly effective running the football. You know, I don't think you'll have as many explosive plays, although Alfred Morris, he had a 70-yard run, you know, a few weeks back. But, you know, the defense, as you said, is playing really well. They got some guys back, and they're healthy. And David Irving, after his four-game suspension, DeMarcus Lawrence is playing great. And then the offensive line started to come together. And I guess the only real question, Mike, is early in the season when they were not running the ball all that well, it was really due to some different parts in the offensive line and then the lack of working together with Elliott as the running back. And will there be any thing that resembles that with Alfred Morris not having really run behind this line all that much? He's only averaging a couple carries a game. And then, of course, Darren McFadden, he's been inactive every week. But I really believe the key to this offense, aside from the offensive line, has been the play of Dak Prescott. And I just don't see it being a big stumbling block for them overall. Now, they've got a huge matchup on, you know, we've got their game this Sunday against Atlanta.
I can't wait. I want to see it.
But the biggest game is next Sunday night.
No question.
Against the Eagles. And clearly, if you're Jerry Jones, Jason Garrett, or anyone else, you feel a hell of a lot better if you've got Ezekiel Elliott carrying the football. But I think they've got some really accomplished guys that can step in and run the ball well.
Atlanta game will fascinate me because it's amazing. And I got this wrong. I thought Atlanta would not miss the Shanahan as much as they have. Sarkisian has just not connected. The way they put it to me was, we just can't get the trains to run on time. And it really just seems like they've been off. They've been in the final minutes of every one of these games with the ball, and they've never made a play in any of these games.
Right.
They had a chance to win every one of these games late, and they just seem to be off a tick. They're not making the big play. They're not getting the ball to the guys in the big spots. Julio Jones isn't making a big play. Something just a little off with that offense.
Yeah, and trying to figure out exactly what it is the hard part. And I'm not sure that they can even say so, Mike. I believe that if you talk to the players within the organization, they all have an opinion on what the problems might be. But I think that Sarkisian is certainly the easy target. And I'm not saying he should not be at least part of the problem, but I know after Kyle Shanahan's first season, there was a lot of grumbling that was going on then when he came in and replaced Dirk Cutter, and to the point to where they took Raheem Morris, who was a defensive backs coach, and they made him the wide receivers coach to try to help kind of bring that group together within the wide receiving room. And you know, and then Kyle Shanahan goes on, and the offense goes on and has a record-setting year last year. And so I know we had them last week, and they really were not that far off. A lot of their numbers were very comparable to what they were a year ago. The two big differences is they're not getting the big plays down the field, and then they're not scoring points.
Yeah.
Part of that is because they're not getting the big plays. The other part of that is that they've been so poor in the red zone. And then last week, let's just look at last week. They've got a touchdown over the top in the first series to Julio Jones, and Matt Ryan overthrows him. That would have been a touchdown. And then late in the game, he drops the ball, and that would have been a touchdown. They dropped third downs. They got false starts. There's things you point to, and you say, all right, well, do you blame Steve Sarkisian for these things? But I think that anyone watching them would say, yeah, it just is not the same. And I think most people, most reasonable people, thought that it would be hard for Atlanta to live up to what they did a year ago offensively. But even with that being said, they've not played particularly well, and they've lost now four of their last five, and this becomes a huge game for
enormous.
Them in order to keep up with the Saints in the division.
Enormous, and it should be a game where the offenses dominate. We expect that. We know Atlanta's good there and on that surface, and it'll be interesting to see with the Cowboys offense, which is playing great. Then you mentioned the next week after that, which is going to be a Sunday night game, but that becomes the question going forward in the NFC, just how good Philly is. And Wentz and Philly, you know, they're making this look easy in recent weeks. I mean, this is just a lot of fun for them. They seem to be getting better as the weeks go on.
Yeah, we had the Eagles, you know, early in the season, and then to see what they've been able to string together here over the last month and a half has been really impressive. And Carson Wentz is terrific in the defense. And you know, I just was looking at this because when you look at most teams, as you know, Mike, they're either pretty good on offense, not so good on defense, or really good on defense, not so good on offense. And Philadelphia is one of those few teams that is pretty well rounded, and they're good on defense. They've got a great front seven. They're very dominant in their front four, and they do a great job. And so they're for real. And we've seen these situations in the past, especially in the East, because that tends to be what I follow a lot of with the games that we cover. And it seems that each year there's a team that has an ability to kind of, you know, give the knockout punch within the division, and rarely do they do it. And this is one of those games next week. If Dallas loses this game, and then it's, you know,
it's
even
over.
Bigger. Because
yeah, it's over.
Philly
yeah.
has the bye, as you know. But
yep.
if next week Philadelphia has a chance to get a three-game lead and then have the tiebreaker, I mean, that's huge with seven games to play.
Oh, absolutely. No question.
I guess it would be six games to play then.
Yeah, it would be. And again, they'll probably be without Elliott for a couple of weeks. We're talking with Troy Aikman. And the other story is Minnesota, which has got a big lead now with Green Bay situation in that division. And now they got a decision to make. They activate Bridgewater. They know that it's Bridgewater and Case Keenum, but Case Keenum, to me, has played well enough to leave him alone, and then
right.
if you need Bridgewater, go get him. I wouldn't rush Bridgewater back into the games.
No, nor would I, and I don't think, I can't imagine, you know, you've won four straight, and I just can't imagine then that they would, you know, when you're winning, why mess it up? Even if you think that this particular, at quarterback, and you say that this guy might be better, but there's a big unknown with Teddy Bridgewater, and he's missed a lot of football. And you know, we had Minnesota a few weeks ago, and I went over and saw Teddy. He was practicing off to the side. This was before he was even able to practice with the team. And he says he feels great, and I watched him, and he looked great. He looked like he was moving fine. That was a significant injury. I mean, he almost lost his leg.
That was a dislocation. That was as bad as it gets, yeah.
And so I just know that when you're in a controlled environment at practice, that's far different than when you have to then take the field and react and do things that you have to do on any given Sunday. And I'm not so sure. I would be surprised. I hope that when he gets his opportunity, I hope he just lights it up and plays great, and you never knew that he missed all these games. He's a great kid. He's worked exceptionally hard to get to this point. But I would be very surprised if that's the case. I just think there's going to be some rust, and if this team's winning, you know, wait until you feel like you have to go back to him.
I totally agree. We're talking with Troy Aikman. We're going to see a lot of the next couple of weeks, obviously, as football moves front and center and heads towards Thanksgiving. Anytime your team wins six in a row, you got to pay attention. Saints have won six in a row. They've done it quietly. They've kind of just gone about their business, jumped up on people, haven't played the toughest schedule yet. They got Atlanta coming up in a couple of weeks, two times in 3 weeks. But they're winning. They're running a little more than they did in the past. They're playing a little more defense than they have in recent years. What do you think of the Saints?
I really like him a lot. I talked to Sean Payton last week and basically asked him the question, like, what's going on with you guys? You know, why are you playing so well and what's the difference? And, you know, they've got some – this draft class was a heck of a draft class for them. Mickey Loomis did a great job, and they're dependent on a number of these guys, and they're showing up and playing well, and that's what it's about. And then, of course, Drew Brees is your quarterback, and the defense is doing enough and creating some takeaways and those types of things. And now they're off and running. And when you start stringing together the wins like they have, six in a row now, you start – whether it's a facade or not, and I don't believe that it is, but you start to gain some real confidence. So at this point, New Orleans is for real. They're a contender, and everyone in the division is chasing them. I think, and we're going to get a chance to see them, you know, here next week. And I'm looking forward to that. It's been a while since we've actually had a Saints.
Yeah, and you probably have them in Atlanta a couple times coming up because they're going to be those are going to be very big games. They play twice in 3 weeks, and we're talking with Troy Aikman, and I want to remind you, Troy, that the Giants are still in the league. I mean, they are still in the league. I mean, I know you're not going to be visiting. I know you're not going to be visiting our fair city anytime soon, but they still are in the league. I know.
Unbelievable, right?
Yes. This is stunning. If I had gone there, when I went there in training camp, they were as confident as I had seen them in, and I was still talking to them about, hey, what about this offensive line, which I was worried about.
Right.
But they were as confident as I had seen them in probably a decade. I mean, they were exceeding, I think they are absolutely stunned that this happened to them.
Yeah, I would think so. I think that... What's interesting, Mike, is this, is that when you look at the drafts of Jerry Reese, it's clear that the offensive line was a priority or is a priority, or in how he feels that you build a team, the offensive line is a big part of that based on what he had shown in drafting Eric Flowers and other draft picks.
Right.
And you say, okay, well, this is what you have to be able to do. Dallas did the same thing. Dallas hit on their guys. The Giants, not so much.
Yep.
But with that being said, maybe we talked about it, but at the end of last year, if there was ever a team who I thought I knew what they were going to do, it was the Giants. I said, they have to address this offensive line. And to not do it, and it's easy, I was shocked. I was shocked when the offseason came and went and the draft came and went. And to say, well, this is hindsight, it's not.
It's not, because we talked about it all spring here.
This offensive line was not good a year ago. There's other offensive lines in this league that were not very good. The Vikings were not very good on the offensive line, and they went out and they did something about it.
Absolutely.
And every other team that I covered a year ago that had problems up front did something
about it. The Rams did, Seattle did, they all did, yes.
And so to say, well, we're going to go get these skilled players and we're going to draft Eric Ingram, we're going to bring in Brandon Marshall, that's great. I mean, you need those guys, but it doesn't matter if you don't have an offensive line and then everything's just completely unraveled. And, you know, I was on a show here locally this morning and they asked me about the Giants and I said, look, I mean, I'd duck and hide for cover. You know, I mean, this thing, when this season's over, John Mara, to say he cannot be happy is a dramatic understatement.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I mean, this is a proud franchise, and to be not just lose, but to be embarrassed the way that they have been this year, it's unlike anything I've really seen from the New York Giants, and I'm really surprised by it. And there's not going to be many that I think survive this.
No, I don't think so. And again, we're talking about Troy Aikman. The Cowboys come in and late, Eagles come in late, and you know already we know, and we've had reports that the Eagle fans and Cowboy fans are buying up droves of tickets for these games, and the Giant fans are admitting, coming on the show and admitting that they're all selling their tickets to these guys. So,
yeah, well, I'll tell you what. Let me tell you, at Fox, I mean, no one cares about this, but at the network level, when the schedule comes out and there's a Dallas and there's a Giants Cowboys game that's on Fox, you can set your weekend and know you're going to be doing that game. And right now, it does not look like we're going to be going to New York.
No, you won't.
I can't ever recall. The only reason we would go is if the Philadelphia is going to be playing at the L.A. Rams, is if Sunday night takes that game. And if they take that game, then we may be going there because of the markets. But
You'll see plenty of cowboy. You'll be plenty of eights in the building when you get here. You know that there'll be plenty of eights. You know that they'll be all over the building. I'm telling you, they won't have a hard time spotting your uniform number. I can promise
you.
Well,
I hate what I've seen, and you know, I haven't been that close to it as you have and others. But I do like Ben McAdoo. I have great respect for him. I think he's a good football man. He's a good football coach, and whatever happens there is, you know, it happens. But there's a lot going on that I think you could point fingers to.
Yeah, and then, you know, you take Green Bay out of the mix because once you lose the quarterback, and he is so good, it's, you know, he's on a different planet the way he plays. I mean, and losing him, you can't replace him. And then you have Carolina not playing that well, Atlanta not playing that well. This is starting to come down to, and I don't know how good the Rams are, and that's the next question for you. The Rams, the coach looks like he's really clicking. The team looks like a football team. They're crisp. They want to play. They look good on the sideline. They look good coming in and out of the huddle. They look like a real football team with this guy.
I like them.
Do you think they're real?
I do. I think they're for real. I think Wade Phillips is great as a defensive coordinator. I think Sean McVay, I liked him a lot when he was at Washington, seeing what they did offensively. I think there's very few offenses that I look at and watch in today's NFL and really think they do a great job of coaching and showing guys how to run routes and their schemes and what they're doing within their patterns and how they get guys open. And I thought that Washington did it, and I think they continue to do it as well as anybody in football. And then the question was, can he get the rookie going? Can he get second-year player Jared Goff going, who I saw last season very early when he wasn't even suiting up? And it was a struggle watching him in practice. And if he, you know, this goes back to, I've said many times that there are a lot of, I believe, talented quarterbacks that came into this league. They just got put in bad situations and with poor coaches and never got to really fulfill their potential. And if Jared Goff had stayed in that situation with a defensive coach and an offense where they just tell you, hey, let's just run the ball with Gurley, don't screw it up, we'll play great defense, and we'll win 9-10 games and make it to the playoffs, this kid never would have realized his potential, and who knows what the future holds for him. But I know this year he's played really, really well, and he's got an offensive coach who understands offensive football and has put him in position, as well as a lot of these other players, to have great success. And I'm happy for him that you know, even though he only had to labor in it for 1 year, some of us had to do it for more than 1 year. He now is off and running and living up, it appears, to the potential that he had when he was drafted.
Well, how about someone I know you've been close to, and that is Stafford in Detroit. Where do you think he is right now? Do you like the way things are shaking out for him, or are you concerned the way things are shaking out for
him?
Well,
I have not seen Detroit yet. I saw him the other night on the primetime game, and I was really pleased watching him. He just seems to, you know, he's always been a confident guy. He's a likable guy, and is always enthusiastic when he's playing and loves to play the game. So all that kind of comes across when you watch him. But there just seemed to be a little something different to him. You know, maybe it's the big contract. I don't know. Maybe when that happens and then you just feel like, yeah, okay, they paid me as though I'm one of the best, and now let's just go out and do it. But I really like Matthew a lot. And the only thing keeping him, you know, the one part about his game where he would get into some trouble is he was reckless at times, and that had to be cleaned up. But I think that for him, the only thing keeping people from talking about him as one of the game's greats is he has to go do it in January.
Got to win playoff games. Absolutely. Listen, we know we can throw it. We know he's good late in the games. He's a good at the fourth quarter quarterback. He's got to go do it in playoff games. That's what he needs. We know he's got all the tools.
And that's the same with Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
You know, he can play as well as anybody when you watch him and the things that he's able to do, but he has to win that game in week 17 to get into the postseason. He has to win that game at home in the playoffs against Green Bay to go on and make it to the divisional round and then on from there. But that's the only thing holding him back also.
No, Stafford can do it. I just don't know if that team's good enough. You know, I just don't know if he was. I thought Minnesota, if they had kept Cook and Bradford healthy, had a chance to have a really good year this year. Now they still are in the mix. And I wasn't expecting Philly, I admit it. I didn't expect them to be this good. They have clearly surprised me. And I won't count Seattle out yet, but I can't figure out what Seattle is. 1 week Seattle can't move the ball, then the next week they score 35, then the next week they can't move the ball. They're just very inconsistent in what they do.
They're head scratchers, you know, and that's kind of what, you know, that's what we've seen from them over the years. And then about this time is when they kind of hit their stride, and yet we thought that was starting to happen, and then they had a setback last week, and so I agree with you there. I will say, on the quarterback front, it seems to me, Mike, that you know you can go draft a LeBron James and a Michael Jordan and a Kobe Bryant and go out and then all of a sudden be an immediate contender, you know, in basketball. Football never seemed to be that way, but yet it kind of seems like it's becoming more that way with the value placed on the quarterback and the way the game has changed. And I say that because when you looked at Green Bay, we had them when they beat Dallas. It was a huge win. Green Bay felt as good as they could have felt at any point in a long time winning that game. They go, man, we are rolling. We got a great road win against a team that's likely going to be in the hunt at the end of the season. And then all of a sudden they lose their quarterback. And as soon as they had had a lot of injuries, as we know, but yet Aaron Rodgers kept them in these games and they were still winning. When they lost Aaron Rodgers, I said, this team won't go 500.
No chance.
And they don't look anything close to what they did when he's on the field.
But he's better than everybody else. As a matter of fact, I'll even say this. And listen, there's been a lot of great quarterbacks. You're one of them. I can name 10. If you take where the game is now and his mobility, his instincts, and his accuracy, he's the best quarterback I've ever seen as far as just operating in on the game on Sunday in the huddle. He's the best quarterback I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean that's ever is a big word, you know.
I've never seen anybody be as mobile and able to throw on the run
and make these
throws on the run, which I've never seen anybody make before.
Yeah, I'm not dismissing your point because I agree, and he can do it all, and he's smart. He knows what defenses are trying to do. He's you know teams try to substitute against him, and he catches them every time.
Yep.
He's drawing up things in the dirt that have won games for him. I mean, he's terrific. And
that play he beat the Cowboys with last year is one of the most amazing plays I ever saw.
It was one that the fact that he drew that up was pretty good. And then secondly, the throw.
Yep.
I told him this year when we had it's the best throw I've ever seen.
Well, that's a compliment coming from you. I mean,
there was McNabb had one back years ago that was about as good as I'd ever seen, and this one. In that situation, on the move, to put it where he put it was pretty incredible. But, you know, and then, right, I mean, Tom Brady doesn't move like Aaron Rodgers.
No, can't.
Tom Brady is
great,
you know,
no question.
Everything else is unbelievable.
And Elway was, and you know what, I can game guys, and there's been a million of them. And you know what, you were a great quarterback. But the point is, there's a lot of, and you guys were winners and tough and great throwers. This guy's uncanny with what he does with his feet, and his instincts are unbelievable.
Well, hey, whether it's last year or other years, we've seen that he has literally put the team on his back.
No question.
And carried them to NFC championship.
And I was the same with you. I knew as soon as he went down, they wouldn't be 500 the rest of the way. There's no, because he's irreplaceable. Because how do you draw a play? I wonder if half the time he's not improvising anyway.
Well, I think a lot of times he is. I mean, they talk about this year trying to get the ball out of his hands quicker, and that's not been what the Packers have become offensively. I mean, it's about him moving around, scrambling, and letting guys get down the field, and then him picking a defense apart.
And, you know, it's funny. You see these guys come in. I was shocked Watson did so well so fast. I really was, and they were running a lot of college stuff and gimmicky stuff, but it was working.
It was, and I hear he's a great kid, too. I've not met him, but I was really – I'm happy whenever these guys come into the league and have great success. And I was thrilled for him, and I was really happy for Bill O'Brien. I'm a huge fan of his. And, I for Bill to have the years that he's had there in Houston with really no consistency at quarterback.
Well, he's had a million guys come through there.
Yeah, he finally gets a guy. And I said, man, this guy just cannot get a break at that position. He finally has a guy who's playing at a really high level, and then he goes down with an injury. And I hate it for Deshaun, and I hope he's able to come back and continue on with his career.
Well, you're going to have a fun couple of weeks here in the NFC. We'll be watching, so thanks for
all
coming
right.
on.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you very much. Good to talk to you, Troy. Thank you. Troy Aikman, always good to talk to him. Good perspective on the league right now, and he has a good one this week. Cowboys will be without Elliott as they go to Atlanta.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Meola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.